beloved people, first of all, this morning I wish to bring to your attention out of the bulletin that Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Pentecostal Ember Days, and they are days of fast and abstinence. Meat may be eaten once on Wednesday and Saturday. There is something that I have not put in the bulletin, and I have done this with intention, but I will speak of it only from here, the pulpit, so that all of you will know. But very likely, as I am talking to you right now, there are some nuns that have started on their way down here. And they are planning to stay here for most of the summer, probably. And they are coming here to learn and to be formed as Benedictine nuns. I wish for your prayers. I wish very stoutly for your prayers. This is no small thing. Now, I want to bring it to your attention so that when it happens, you will not think ill of it nor be offended. But as you know, we here have got it in our hearts to start a contemplative community. Now, a contemplative community, as certainly you know, is one that is completely removed. When you see these good ladies walk by you outside after Mass on Sundays, and if they smile and keep on going their way, please understand that this is the way it is supposed to be. Please do not be offended. Please help these ladies as they are trying to learn how to be contemplative in a world that has never before been so uncontemplative. Please help us. And I beg you, do not be offended. And even if you see Sister Monica, who has to give the example, and she's been all by herself all these years and months, and has stuck it out, and we have overlooked a whole lot of things for all the obvious reasons, but Sister Monica will be showing the same example, and do not be offended if she too walks by you, smiles, and keeps on going. After all, it is the rule of Saint Benedict which says, let the monk give the guest a gracious smile, and if the guest insists on talking, the monk has to remind the good guest that he is not permitted to speak. So when sisters go by, say a prayer for them in a very special way, because what they are thinking about doing is something that is, I have no words for it. So leave it at that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today is a feast of Pentecost. And to the vastest possible majority in the world, it is a matter of positively no consequence. And if you were to speak to anybody that you may know, probably the most of an excitement that you might get out of them would be an expression such as, well, so what? The world simply has no notion of the importance of today. Today is the birthday of the church. Today is when it all began. And if you recall, I have to insert this, I just thought of something that I forgot. We'll have benediction after Mass this morning. Let's go back. If you recall, the apostles had been with our Lord for 3 years, and our Lord had taught and taught and taught, and he had repeated and repeated and repeated, and he had fussed at them and fussed at them, and it was like his words were like being poured on a rock. Water on a rock didn't penetrate. Of all the people, of all the 12 that might have shown the most promise, was Judas. Judas, of all the 12, was probably the most educated. He certainly had moved around in the better circles. The others, well, we'll just leave the others alone. I don't know that any of us would have invited many, if any, of the other 11 into our homes for dinner some evening. But Judas, we might have invited. As a matter of fact, Judas was selected to be the one they thought so highly of him that they even entrusted the money to Judas. He had that kind of a reputation. But of those that remained, all that our Lord had taught them only came to full blossom when the Holy Ghost touched them. We must pray that the Holy Ghost descends upon us and gives us the grace to understand. Until he comes to be with us, we will not understand. We will know the facts. And that, my dear people, that's what concerns me so much today, that we are so much like the computer, which has all the facts recorded. But the computer can't think. Today we are probably the most, well, I don't know that it would be probable, probably an actual fact, that we are the most informed generation ever to be on the face of this earth. And yet, look at the condition of things. Last Sunday, I spoke to you, I pointed out to you that after the flood, the people were going to make sure that the devastation that they had endured at the moment of the flood would never again happen. That they were going to one-up God, and they were going to build a tower. And this tower was to be for them something that would make to keep them safe, that God would have no power to hurt them again. So one day, God came a-walking about the earth, and he saw what was going on. And he struck them with the confusion of tongues, which destroyed every effort at continuing the construction of this monument. Today, man is trying to one-up God once again. And this time, instead of building a tower that would go over the head of God, man has put himself. Last Sunday I didn't carry it out this way. I didn't have time to think it out when I was preaching, but since then I have given it more thought. And hopefully it makes a little more sense. But man has put himself above God, hasn't he? So God has come a-walking, and he has seen this, and he sees what is happening. And what has he done? Actually, but God today has afflicted us with the confusion of thought. The thought confusion is everywhere. It's amongst the good and the bad, the chosen, the unchosen, everybody is afflicted with this. And even amongst those of us who maintain a close devotion to the original purposes of our church, all we have to do is pick up anything that is printed by any of us. Anything. I don't care in which direction you look. Pick up anything that is printed, and you find, right away, you find confusion of thought. It's everywhere. It's in the air. It's in the drinking water. It's every place. Today's epistle, the people that were present when the apostles broke forth from their chamber in which they were locked. They locked themselves up because they were scared to death. When they broke forth from there, the people were amazed. What happened? All of a sudden, everybody that came from every part of the earth understood what the apostles were saying. It was as if one language again was being spoken when the Holy Ghost touched them. And here we are. We consider ourselves to be the infallible ones. And what I have to say, or what I have to write, or what I have to publish, I have to do, anything that I do, has to have such value as to convert anybody who is smart enough and intelligent enough to pick it up and read it. Because what I do is beyond criticism. And what has happened? All that I have succeeded in doing is to spread more confusion. I've taken it completely out of the hands of God and have put it into my own hands to make sure that what God cannot do with you, I can. And don't you ever forget it. And if you disagree with me, you're a heretic. You are dishonorable. How dare you disagree with me? Because I know and you don't know. My dear people, isn't that the case? The Holy Ghost came once, and he took care of the confusion of tongues. Today, the only one who can take care of the confusion of thought, the only one, nobody else, nobody. I will repeat that, nobody. Can take care of the confusion of thought. So today, I ask you to pray. Pray to the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whichever you prefer to call him. Some people think that when we started using the term Holy Spirit, that's when the confusion entered into the church. Well, okay. Pray to the Holy Ghost and ask him to give to you, and ask him to give to us back here, what we need, what you need, in order to understand, in order to comprehend, in order to accept, in order to be. No one else can do it. You know, our Lord said on such an occasion once before, he said, lest perhaps you see, but you do not see, or you hear and do not hear. You know, that's a terrible situation, but it is highly possible. You recall that our Lord, they saw him, they walked with him, they ate with him, they spoke with him, they touched him. They never saw him. And let us pray that the same thing is not part of our problem. That we see him, that we come to communion regularly, 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 Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We say our prayers morning, noon, and night, day in and day out, day in and day out. We make visits to the church. We genuflect with all the reverence. But do we see him? Really and truly, do we see him? Or is it just some kind of an empty ceremony that we all go through in order selfishly to make ourselves feel that we're doing something that is sufficiently good? We have to pray that when we see, when we look, we can see. And when we taste, that we will know. And that when we pray, we will understand. It's serious, my beloved people. I said earlier, the condition of the Holy Ghost today is of absolutely no consequence to anybody except a few chosen people. I could care less about him. I don't even know who he is. Never heard of him before. Baloney. Baloney and more baloney. Members of our own families will tell us that, will they not? Our loved ones will tell us that, will they not? That's where we are. The only one who can handle the situation today is God himself. So pray to him today. Pray to him for us. We take all kinds of chances around here. And unless God and his angels are holding our hands and guiding our footsteps, step after step after step, we're going to fall off the edge of the mountain. Please pray for us. You can be certain that we're praying for you. Our whole lives, our whole life is dedicated to those of us who love God above everything else. There is nothing, absolutely nothing on earth that matters except God. May the Holy Ghost come to us and cause us to understand this simple statement, my beloved people.